This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. If you think about some of the biggest musical acts of the last, 50 years or so, Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan, Springsteen, Aretha Franklin, Miles Davis, one guy has worked with them all. Clive Davis started as a lawyer, and then, as even he will tell you, by pretty much being in the right place at the right time, he wound up running Columbia Records in the 1960s. He started Arista Records in the 70s. Today, he's the chief creative officer at Sony Music Entertainment, and he's got a new memoir out. It's called The Soundtrack of My Life. Mr. Davis, welcome to the program.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm going to start with a question about risk, but I'm going to frame it the way you do in your book, about a decision you made that changed your life, changed your business, and it revolves around this woman and this song. Janis Joplin, obviously. You go out to Monterey in the mid-ish 60s, right? You see her on stage, and you say, I have to sign this woman. Talk to me for a second about the risk and the gamble that that was for you.
Well, it was 1967. I had been head of the company for a little over a year. I certainly had never signed an artist. I was watching.
Wait a minute. Back up for a minute. You had never signed an artist before you signed Janis Joplin?
No, she was the first artist I ever signed.
Wow.
I had not been remotely aware what was going on at Haight-Ashbury and the Love, Peace, and Flowers. And so that for me, seeing a new revolution in the making, sensing it, and getting that, could I say, tingle in my spine, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. I really have to sign this riveting, compelling, electrifying white soul sister, Janis Joplin, in this group, Big Brother, and the holding company.
You bet the company in some way, right?
Oh, I didn't bet the company. No.
Well,
you
paid a lot of money for this woman and her band.
Well, look, I paid to buy the contract. It cost $200,000, and half of it, you know, would be borne by the company. So I don't want to be melodramatic, and I urge you not to be. No, I'm not a gambler.
Well,
So this is not a question of risk here in my mind. It was different. It was following an instinct and signing an artist with great determination, and it proved that it was worthwhile.
There's a line in here that kind of applies. You say at the point you got offered the job at Columbia, you say, unfortunately, I knew nothing of music to speak of. And that's a quote from you. So the question is...
Well, I endorse that without question.
Well, so how, as you gained experience in this business, how did you make the decisions you did? Was it gut?
It was gut. I found that I had an ear that I never knew that I had. And so that, yes, when Janis made it, the Electric Flag, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Chicago, Santana, they all made it. And so, of course, that began to build my confidence.
There is a management guide buried in this book a little bit, and it comes out in a paragraph fairly early on where you talk about how to capitalize on change in an industry and how it's not sufficient to sit back and look at past glories. How do you do that in an industry that has changed over the 40 years you've been in it as much as music has?
Well, you've also got to know what you're good at and what you need help at. So that when R&B music was changing, you know that hip-hop revolution is coming. I'm not good at going to the streets, but I found Puffy. And I financed Bad Boy Records. And with the Notorious B.I.G. and Mace, we had years of success. If you can do it yourself, fine. But if it's going to be other forms of music with his other expertise, make sure you get the right team and the right people to work with.
So after you and I get off the phone, you're going to talk to Ryan Seacrest, which makes me think of this question. Do you suppose it's possible, just because Ryan is turning into something of an impresario himself these days, right? He seems to be everywhere. Is it possible for a kid coming up in music today what you have done?
I do think it is. I mean, I know that a few years ago I was concerned about the degree of piracy, concerned out there with this digital revolution that people think that music should be gotten for nothing. But I put on the Lumineers or Miguel. I'm really optimistic that the identifiable individualistic artist is there. Someone young today can come along, and if they have ears and taste and they have financial backing, they could have major success. I truly believe that.
One last thing, Mr. Davis, before I let you go. Did I read it right in here that when you were a kid, you were a Bing Crosby guy over a Frank Sinatra guy? Really?
You know, you read it and it was true, but let me make it clear. Frank Sinatra was the greatest interpreter of song. He is indeed still the king.
Chairman of the board. Elvis was the king. Come on.
I'll take it. All Chairman
right.
of the board.
All right.
Amendment. Okay.
Clive Davis, his new book. It's a memoir. It's called The Soundtrack of My Life. Mr. Davis, thanks very much for your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.